Thank you for invitation and for the next to the next conference here. And this is actually a first visit to the Perimeter Institute, so I'm quite happy. And today I'm interested in a kind of theoretical aspect in quantum spinites, which might open a new paradigm. That is quantum spinites and the 1-1-1 field. So first I give some theory talks, and then only in the last few slides I talked about the possible relevance to the experiments. Okay, so you can find references here. Okay, so I think I can skip all these things since you are already the experts. So I can just start with classical spinites and the 1-1-1 field. So for the dysprosium titanate or holmium titanates, and actually this is the experiment on dysprosium titanate by the ISSPB group in University of Tokyo. And this is the magnetic field versus the temperature phase diagram. And the magnetization curve, from the magnetization curve, actually there was a first order phase transition to the 1-1-1 field, which terminates at the critical endpoint. And this is the first order phase transition. And this has been already been numerically somehow reproduced by classical Monte Carlo simulations. And it says that there is a twin to out region below the first order phase transition field. And then we eventually go to a 3-1-1 physics. Okay. And the real experimental feature is already reported like this. So with decreasing temperature the bottom to the top, actually the magnetization curves has a steeper slope at the low field, and then saturates to some plateau, and then goes to the fully saturated state. Okay, doesn't work. So, Oh, okay. Thank you. Okay. So then we have a two-third plateau here. So this is called the Kagome-Spinites plateau. And there are a lot of many theoretical works by the classical Monte Carlo simulations. And here we have a two-in-two-out states. But the triangle that is spins in showing here is actually pointing to the field direction. But three of the four spins in a tetrahedra are still fluctuating. So that is called Kagome spinites. And this is still a lot of extensive dissonance in the Kagome layers. So, and then my interest is the quantum spinites. So I want to find something relevant to the Kagome spinites physics, but in quantum spinites, but not the classical spinites. So there are already many reports on evidence of the quantum excitations in several particular materials. And so it's fine. So, okay. So then, of course, those materials have a complicated Hamiltonians, which we derived a very long time ago, like 2009 or 10 or 11. And I hope that this is the one of the first derivation of those models. Okay. And but since for the theoretical perspective, actually we want to be more rigorous. We want to perform a rigorous calculation, so we will stick to in this case the quantum Monte Carlo simulations, which is unbiased calculations with any approximations. So for that purpose, actually we want to investigate the negative sign free problem, negative sign problem free Hamiltonian like this with negative J perpendicular. So in that case, actually, we have a phase competition between the anti-ferro magnet of so-called a gamma 5 or case, and then also to a U1 spin legate. Okay. And the classical cases have already been investigated under the magnetic field by these papers. So let me start with the zero field case, so which already been presented 2 years ago. So this is energy quantum mechanical simulations on the total energy and the specific key entropy and squared monopole density. And this is the phase diagram. So here, this is the J perpendicular versus J. This is on the negative side of the coupling constant of the J perpendicular. And this is the temperature in the logarithmic scale. So then we have a crossover here, which is just indicating the entering classical spin-dense regime. And then depending on the J perpendicular, we have either a quantum spin naked, U1 quantum spin naked region here, or the ferromagnet. That is actually in a particular language, it's an anti-ferromagnet. Okay. And several years ago, actually, already Banerjee et al. Have reported those data here. And we have investigated all the low, temperature dependence and to see the crossover here. And the crossover here is presented here. Actually, this is the specific heat and versus temperature. And this first short peak appears at this crossover temperature, which just as, and then we are entering the classical spin-dense plateau of the entropy. And then entropy restarts to decay at lower temperature here. And then specific heat increases like this. And then this is a low temperature limit data. And then we have another peak, which is not divergent or showing any singularity. And okay, so which is also consistent with particular photons in the low temperature limit. Okay, so this is a zero field case. And to actually claim that this low temperature region is associated with the U1 quantum spin liquid, actually we need to show the evidence. And here we presented the neutron scattering cross sections for spin flip, non-spin flip, and total cross sections. And it seems that at high temperature we have just broad rod features, which is quite a robust feature in many particular materials, real particles. And then at a plateau region here, we have a nice pinch point feature of the classical spin lines. And then eventually, further decreasing temperature, we reach the U1 quantum spin negative region where we see some decay of the intensity around the pinch points here, like here. Okay, so that's why we can safely say that this is in a quantum spin naked region. This is just crossover, so there's no phase transition at all. And the feature here are also consistent with the prediction of the non-compact gauge theory. Okay. And here actually I just mentioned that this kind of feature this feature may be relevant to the neutron scattering experiment by Colin Broholm, and this is on platinum zirconate. Okay, so this is actually the inelastic neutron scattering, but there is some integration region of the energy window. So I think it's actually relevant to they are comparable. I can explain later if you have questions. And this is the so far I was talked about the case under the zero magnetic field, but here I'm switched to a 1-1 magnetic field case. So we add the 1-1 magnetic field here. So ER is the local 1-1 axis. So this is the. Yeah, I'll go back to that point later. So now this is a quantum Monte Carlo simulations on the simplest quantum spin-dense model under the 1-1-1 magnetic field. So this is the magnetization for unit cell here, and versus temperature and the magnetic field. And this is a ionized or crystallized monopole charge, which is just a distribution of the monopole charge plus or minus on the either sublattice, FCC sublattice or the diamond lattice. And this is the temperature and the magnetic field again. And this is actually the superfluid density of the monopoles, or actually this is just a transfer spin stiffness in the original spin language. But in the Kagome layer, within the Kagome layer, within the Kagome layers. Kagome layer and also the inter-Kagome layer component. Okay? So then we see a sudden increase of the magnetization up to the two-thirds plateau. And after being pinned at the plateau, then it restarts increasing gradually, and then reach to the one, that's a saturated moment. And similarly, actually at the same magnetic field, we see a transition of the delta Q from zero to finite, and then eventually go to one, that's a saturated case for the 111 field. That's a 3-in-1 out case. And here actually thanks for the question. So actually we worked on the 0.15. So we are starting from the ordered phase. Okay. Okay, so those features actually is common in all the cases we investigated for the J perpendicular. Even with the when we start from the U1 spin liquid case, we see a similar behavior for the magnetization or ionized small pore charge. Okay, but the difference appears in the superfluid density. So since we are starting from the ordered case, actually we have a large transverse spin stiffness, which indicates the long edge order. But if you start from the U1 spin liquid case, this is gone, and this is gone. Okay, but then it actually steeply decays, drop to zero, and then we have some non-ordered region here, and then at the same magnetic field, we see a sudden increase of the superfluid density again, and then go to the zero again. Okay, so we have this dome of the superfluid density, and here and there. Okay, although this is weaker than the interlayer component. So summarizing, so we have this picture. So depending on whether we start from the U1 spin liquid phase region or the long range order antiferromagnetic region, we may have a spin stiffness here at the lower field limit. But in any case, the magnetization actually increases suddenly to the two-thirds plateau, and then after some magnetic field, it restarts increasing. At the same time, the superfluid density appears again, and then it decays to the zero at the saturated moment. Because this is a summary of the Montcalm simulations. Okay. So then we need to understand what are these phases. So this is a neutron scattering cross sections on the 111 plane, and this is the case for the B equals zero, then indicating the U1 spin liquid, or at a slightly higher temperature, it's a classical spin ice. And here it is a low field region where the magnetization less than two-thirds, and actually it almost looks similar. And we can say that this is also the U1 spin liquid, and the same U1 spin liquid. the adiabatically connected to the B equals zero case. And then we reach the plateau or two-thirds plateau. Then we see feature short-range correlations here or there, which is also visible in the classical spin ice case. And I will go back to this point in the next slide. Okay, and we are claiming that this might be a Kagome valence bond solid. And at the end. When the superfluid density becomes finite of the monopoles, it means that the monopoles have in the supersolid phase, because there's a finite superfluid density of monopoles, and as well as the ionized monopole charge, which is not quantized, fractional. Okay, so we call this a monopole supersolid, although it's not a new phase, it's a long-range ordered phase, so in any case. In any case, in this case, we don't see any significant features. Intensities are quite weak. So going back to the plateau region, so we want to understand what's the ground state or low temperature phase of this plateau state. Okay, this is neutron cross section in the H minus H0 directions. And we see a prominent feature at the 2000 in a reciprocal lattice unit itself, reciprocal lattice unit. And actually, it increases with decreasing temperature here, like this. And this is the profile outside, out of the plane, Kagome plane. So it also increases upon cooling. But actually, the L dependence is not significant. So it's almost flat within the numerical accuracy. And and if you look at the temperature dependence of the intensity at this point, shown here, actually, it actually follows the logarithmic temperature dependence, which is predicted in Kagome, classical Kagome spin-lines. But actually, it shows a clear deviation here, probably because saturation due to the quantum fluctuations. So because the classical degeneracy of the Kagome spin-lines manifold is completely lifted in the quantum case, so it should have some saturations. So we have already seen the saturation. And then eventually, at the lower temperature, it more steeply increases. So which indicates that this might be, we are approaching the long-range ordered phase. The possible long-range ordered phase here should be a Kagome valence bond solid, where the, on each Kagome plane, every three spins has a long-range order of the SZ component, but the other spins have some resonating valence bond solid. Okay, resonating valence bond like this. So although we didn't see clearly see the three-dimensional feature here, so actually the issue for the dimensionality of the valence bond solid is still actually open. Okay, summarizing, we have identified all many phases in the quantum spin-lines under the 111 field. So first, we have classical spin-lines like this, classical spin-lines in the blue region, in the temperature magnetic field and the J perpendicular phase diagram. So this is the classical limit. And then we have a classical spin-lines in the blue region. And then green in the green region is a quantum U1 quantum spin negate. And here, the orange region is anti-ferromagnet, or in the particle language. And here, light blue region is classical Kagome spin-lines, and then actually entering the Kagome valence bond solid in the pink region. And then we have a dome of the yellow colored region, which is associated with the monopole super solid, where we have a long-range order of the both the SZ and the planar spin components, and then end up with a fully saturated 3-1 out state. That's sometimes called a monopole crystal. Okay, so then I'd like to briefly mention the possible relevance of the experiments. So actually, the we don't see any plateau in any experiments at the moment. But this is actually the magnetization curve in the platinum iridate. And they already seen a metamagnetic transition on the 1-1 magnetic field at the B equal to 2.2 or 2 or 3. And because the temperature here is already low, but in comparison with the energy scale of the whole energy scale of the coupling constant, like a J. Here, that should be 0.1 or 0.2 Kelvin. So it's still not that low. It's just one third or so. So it's nicer to cool the system even lower, if possible. And then it may be possible to see a plateau region. And that may also provide a nice candidate to the valence bond solid state in the Kagome layers. Okay, so this is one possible relevance. And actually, the width of the plateau, two-third plateau, actually depends strongly on the value of the J perpendicular. So for larger J perpendicular, then width actually decreases. And also, it might be possible that in experiments, the platinum particles, J perpendicular might be large. But if it is large, then on the negative side, then we should have a long range order that is leading to the quadruple order in the platinum particles. But at the moment, there is no report on the long range order quadruple moment. So in that case, Jepa Mega could be positive. And in that sense, U1 spinnaker is quite stable. That is relevance to platinum particles. And this is a possible relevance to terbium particle. Actually, we don't see a direct relevance to this material because in the recent phase diagram of the some terbium titanium with some substitutions, I mean tiny substitution like less than 1% or so. We see a phase transition between the this unordered phase and the ordered phase, okay, with and without the sharp specific heat peak. And analyzing the many experimental data, we concluded that that material, at least in the long range ordered side, it sits in the in this region of the phase diagram of the for the coupling constants. So this actually indicates that there is another coupling constant, which is of the form of the S plus S plus. So in that sense, our model we worked on that for by the quantum mechanical simulation is not actually relevant to this case. And actually, there's no clear magnetization plateau here. Okay, and summarizing my talk. So I presented the magnetic field temperature phase diagram of the simplest, minimum quantum spinance model. And with increasing field from the zero field, we have successive transitions from U1 spin liquid to possibly a valence bond solid under the 2,000 magnetization plateau, and then a monopole super solid, and then a free saturated state. Okay, thank you for attention.
Questions? Colin?
The plateau regime, mm-hmm. You showed the momentum dependence of neutron scattering mm-hmm. on the plane perpendicular to the field direction.
Perpendicular to the field, yes. So
what about along the field direction? Because that direction is still 111, which okay. does exist, but it's now different.
Okay, so, first of all, this is a two-dimensional profile. This is a 111 plane. But if you pick up this, this point, for instance, then we can see, for instance, we investigated the intensity along this direction and also the out of the plane direction which passing through this point. Okay, so this is these are given here, and this is h 1 bar 0 direction, and this is out of the plane direction, and then we see almost flat dependence. So it's we cannot say anything at the ground state from this calculation, but it's most likely that we have a almost flat profile along the interlayer directions.
That means that kind of decoupled the
right, components. Almost decoupled the Kagome valence bond solid.
So the look at this. This high-level Bose model on the Kagame lattice, mm-hmm. so there can be like one-third of fading and two-thirds of fading. Mm-hmm. Right? You also have, one is the particle called, transformation of the other. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering, is there any another plateau in Kagame spin ice when the field is applied along one direction?
No. We don't say anything.
Now, usually, just from this particle,
okay, from the Kagome, for instance, Kagome case, there's nothing. I mean, only the two-third, one-third, okay?
Yeah.
And the two-third corresponds to the this our magnetization plateau. And one-third magnetization, one-third plateau in the Kagome language is corresponding to the minus two-third plateau. So it, actually, there's nothing more.
Okay. Any question?
Yes.
So I have a comment, right? So in the context of terbium titanate, mm-hmm. We had already suggested in 2009 that magnetization plateau could be a diagnostic for quantum spinizing terbium titanate. There's some unpublished experiments by Ike Schnecker and Bruce Gronheim that were reported in NASA.
Yeah, we cited some papers.
And there's a debate whether or not there's a plateau in turning right?
Right, yeah, I know.
Not a plateau in the sense of an inflection point, right?
Yeah. But for instance, compared to this clear plateau,
I'm just making a comparison between what happens in
volume. So that's kind of, time and origin. We use the plateau more strict sense.
Sure.
So that means the monetization or the monetizability should be zero.
Sure. Okay. But on the experimental side, it's still intriguing that
Could be, yes.
Bruce, well, in a sort of in a similar vein, one can also look at the relative magnetization for fields applied in different directions, and for spin ice, there's a very definite order to which direction gives you the highest magnetization, and that's reproduced, I think, in both the praseodymium iridate and in terbium type iridate. So what I mean is that if you just look at them without focusing too much on whether slope goes to zero or not, dysprosium titanate and praseodymium iridate and terbium titanate look very similar.
Well, I mean, qualitatively, but not quantitatively.
Well, they don't have the zero slope, but
another point is that for instance, these are praseodymium case. How can we define the plateau region? It's quite difficult at the moment. So if it should be possible. I think it should be possible to, if it is possible to cool the sample enough, then it goes to some plateau. Yeah.
Well, I think that there's two discussions, right?
Yeah.
Whether or not there's a plateau in the XXML, whether or not there's a plateau in the experimental.
Inflection point is fine, yes.
Small comment following Michelle's question, comment. So in reality, the system doesn't have global even symmetry, so magnetization is not a good quantum number, so there shouldn't be any real plateau. In reality, then just if there is a plateau, there will be a proximate plateau. Yeah. So just add on.
Actually, it's not the case. If there's a energy gap, if the ground state is completely gapped out from the excited state, and in the Kalman valence bond solid case, there's no gap excitations, so there should be a plateau.
It's approximate plateau.
So how does this work relate to the Z2 spin liquid that Melko and collaborators reported last year?
So we are working on a completely different model. We worked on this XXZ, but other people here in Penrose Institute worked with X plus H minus. So it's not a E1 symmetric model. Yeah. So it's different.
Oh, great.
And the phase five diagram is different. Yeah.
This phase that appears right below the 3 and 1 out phase, can that be understood in any way from going to the large transverse coupling limit?
Which phase?
This monopole supersolid or whatever.
Okay. So this phase actually is kind of simple interpretation in the original spin language. So if we super bigger is quite large, then there's no reason why we start from the spin lines. So then we can work on just as spin wave theory. So then we should be able to get the same phase. Yeah, it's simple. Yeah.
So is it analogous to the Leggett vacancy supersolid phase, but seen from the monopole?
Yeah, just for the monopoles. Just for the monopoles.
Okay. Any other question? Okay. So if not, let's thank Shiki.